Look at your eyes, it doesn't look good for you now. What I think, I identified what the root cause was, the disciplinary processes in terms of the treatment, like we found that there is like not sufficient processes and followed to basically determine if there was someone that needs to be held accountable in terms of the prior year irregular expenditure. Therefore, we have the non-compliance in terms of that there was not adequate disciplinary processes undertook against all the people that transgressed or permitted irregular and fraudulent expenditure. Then, if we summarize the misstatements and the non-compliances in terms of our root cause, you'll see on your right-hand side, we summarize that the combination of the leadership and problems, and then link of leadership, we've identified it's more due to your daily, monthly controls that are also not effective. It's just on your right hand side. We summarize the audit outcomes in terms of where do we feel that there's still some improvements needed. And we found it in the area of leadership and then also in the area of financial and performance management. And in terms of leadership, we feel that the oversight that leadership undertook was not sufficient to prevent the material misstatements in the financial statement, and then also to prevent all the non-compliances which we have identified. And then on the next hand is that your management, your day-to-day operational staff did not monitor the implementation of these controls. So first of all, management needs to ensure that there's sufficient control and that needs to be implemented on a daily, weekly, and a monthly basis.
Sorry, I'm a little bit now. You have the option. Is he in expertise? What does this mean?
Yeah,
okay,
so about 10 minutes.
No, I have 10 minutes, I'll get it.
Oh, sorry.
But is it
any question? No, the air is full.
But
is there
any questions or additional clarity that you require from me? So then, as I said, to continue, so there's a leadership oversight role that we felt not 100% effective, and then linked to that, your financial control that your lower level staff are supposed to do in terms of ensuring that all the controls are being implemented, we found that also to be lacking.
Chester, just so when you continue, clear my mind, when we speak about leadership in the NYDN and we speak about governance, would leadership be your administrative component and your governance be the board?
Yes. So leadership would be your counting officer, and then your top senior leadership of the organization, then your governance structure will always be the board together with your internal audit and the audit committee.
I think what is important in the context of the NYDA is that once you also take into account that for a large part of the there is actually no board in place. So the CEO basically fulfills their dual role, which from a governance point of view is not the ideal situation. Yeah. But therefore, in this context, when we talk about leadership, we're talking about CEO and let's call it the exco or
any other questions for
Karen? Okay. We'll come back in the case.
So just to conclude then that So just then to conclude, just to say in the end there's improvement in the DPME due to effective leadership, and then for the NYDA there was no improvement. And that you, as I said, due to ineffective leadership and basic controls that you feel not implemented, and the checks that are not checking everything thoroughly before they basically find anything off. In terms of a briefing note, also a handout that we have made, I'm not going to go through it in detail. It's for the committee to engage with me maybe at the later stage. It gives you a lot more detail in terms of the overview about the entity, and then also we will go through the specific pages, and in here we have identified the root causes and also recommendations going forward that you, the committee, can ask you and show you in terms of your own puzzle that hopefully next year when we come and sit here, we can still say we can eat, still green, and have managed to sustain the audit outcome, and then for the NYDA that they have managed to improve in terms of their compliance environment and also their financial environment. If I go to page 4 of the presentation, the briefing notes, just a very quick overview in terms of the audit between and D3. As I said previously, the D3 improved, and NYDA for the last 3 years was able to sustain the audit outcome unqualified, however, was finding compliance. On the next page, as Lois previously said, normally in terms of our audit environment, we can emphasize on that in terms of our audit report. Our audit opinion is not being affected by that. We just want to highlight to the reader there's something in the audit report that's been a financial statement that's important for the user to know. On the NYDA, similar to last year, it's not a new emphasis matter. We're just emphasizing that in terms of the environment where they grant loans to you in terms of doing business, there were some concerns in the way they give the loans in terms of the recovery. So loans are being provided, however, when they have to recover those debts, they're not always effective, and that's why in the end they have to impair quite a number of debtors of loans that's owed to them. So in the prior year, even in the current year, you'll see that quite a regression because the amount of impairment increased from 18 million to 51 million in the current year. So this is very important in terms of oversight that the loan management environment needs to be improved, that the process for them to award loans need to be adequate, that they give loans to people with a valid business case, loans to people with a good credit history, so in the end, the money that they provide to those opportunists are in the end then being recovered back by the NYDA. In terms of the key focus areas, we will go through those, not 100% in detail, but just I will touch on them. You will see in terms of our focus area, which we structure our audit report, we just give you an overview in terms of the performance information, supply chain management, the HR environment, the information technology environment, zero misstatements, and then also in terms of the financial health. In terms of DPME, for the DPME, even though there was no finding on the audit report in terms of the there was still a concern under the other matters that there was some material adjustments made to the performance information report. So through our audit, in the audit performance information, we identified that what management presented to us could not always be the same created by the great information. Management had to go back and make some adjustments to the performance information. It's a combination of oversight in terms of reviewing the quarterly performance report, and then also, you know, proper filing system that whatever you present in a quarterly report is substantiated by, you know, information. So by the time that we came to audit, there was some differences and management had to adjust that. So the recommendation is going forward that in terms of their quarterly oversight, they need to ensure that all the information that they present is supported by reliable information, and then also that internal audit should, as part of their oversight, review the performance information to ensure that everything that they report in terms of their target is valid in terms of supporting documentation. In terms of the NYDA, there was no material findings in terms of their performance information. I'm not going to go in detail again about supply chain management. I think I've covered that in my introduction. There was findings in terms of supply chain management, a combination of they haven't followed the right procurement processes, or they went for a closed tender process where they said it's impractical to go out in the bidding process, but in terms of our evaluation, we found that no, it was not impractical, they could have gone out on tender. And then linked to that, we said that there was no sufficient control that management implemented. First of all, to prevent irregular expenditure. Secondly, to detect, and understanding largely in terms of the accountability that the people who painted or permitted those irregular expenditures, there was no accountability held against them. And then we have a number of recommendations to ensure that in terms of the improvement that these recommendations are being implemented and oversight being performed by yourself, that hopefully next year we will check the environment that is free of regular expenditure. And the recommendation talks to a zero tolerance attitude that management needs to have, that we will not enter into that, we will not accommodate in terms of their review. There needs to be a strong stance in place in terms of compliance with each and every requirement in terms of project management. And then very important, all the policies need to talk in terms of the project management. Ideally, or unfortunately, if there is some gap in the policy, it will ultimately mean that they have not followed each and every requirement of project management, which in the end results in non-compliance. So it's first of all important that there needs to be a zero tolerance. All the policies need to be updated, and there needs to be adequate oversight by management, by internal audit, by the accounting officer, by the audit committee to ensure that your supply chain management environment is being addressed. And I think last recommendation is the action of the investment against competition. Because if no action is being taken, you think a culture of if you do something wrong, I can continue because there's no consequences. So that links to the first one, the zero tolerance. So if someone engages or permits irregular expenditure, there needs to be a visible action taken against those officials, that the message sent out is quite clear that we will not tolerate this type of engagement or behavior. On the next page, the human resource management. There was no material concerns that we have identified in terms of the HR environment. In terms of your information and technology environment, there are some concerns, and it's more in terms of the policy. We found some gaps in terms of the policy, and if there's gaps in your policy, normally there's a risk that there are concerns that's not being addressed that open up these entities for risk. On the next page, in terms of your material misstatement, as I have previously said for this briefing, there was no material misstatement in the financial statement, which talks to adequate oversight and which talks to they have sufficient daily, monthly, and weekly controls implemented to detect possible misstatements about a kind of detail and audit, and we find an environment that's fairly presented. For the NYDA, similar, unfortunately not a similar situation. We found a material amount, and also it was quite pervasive throughout the whole financial statement. It wasn't as it was focused in one environment. It was throughout the environment we found this statement, which indicates an overall financial concern. If it was focused on one area, you can limit it to say that more of a risky environment, they might not have sufficient controls to prevent that. But if it's all over the financial statement, it actually creates a picture that there's definitely some weaknesses in terms of the financial environment. Our recommendation is that they need to start prepare monthly financial statements, not just quarterly, not just annually. Because if you start to do monthly financial statements, financial environment is being geared up to understand what needs to go into the financial statement. It also helps oversight to review the financial statement. Internal audits can be bring along to review it. So if they see at that stage already there's a misstatement, they can already in the first month start to implement control. It's sometimes very difficult if you identify an error that happened 12 months ago to apply your mind and to implement the control. So our recommendation is that there needs to be more regular review of the financial statement and then link to that more regular preparation of those financial statements. And that was on page 8. On page 9, in terms of the NYDA, their financial health, basically financial health is we compare how well do they manage the funds that's been allocated to them. The concern that we've identified, which links back to the emphasis matter that I previously referred to you on, is that money are being provided in terms of loans. However, to recover those money, not fully effective. So the concern is that there's not sufficient debt management processes that should recover the money that and we have a recommendation that in terms of the CFO's oversight, first of all, that he needs to manage and ensure proper control in terms of identifying the still outstanding debtors, institute some action against them, and in the end, the CEO and the accounting authority, they need to be prepared with a report, so in the end, they can see all the improvement in terms of the debt collection ratio, and then identify what ways do they have to determine to recover those debts that are due to them, or then in the end, write them off as being bad debts. And then lastly, in terms of the NYDA, we have another matter of the audit report in the school that has the other non-compliance. The NYDA is registered in terms of the National Credit Act. So they need to comply to the NRC Act in terms of them being a credit provider. During the audit process, we have identified that in terms of all the requirements that they need to follow, there was an oversight, but they did not submit the annual report to the Credit Act regulation as required by the Act, and it was a similar non-compliance that we have identified in the report. Our recommendation is there needs to be, first of all, a list to say what are all the things that I need to comply in terms of the Act, and then monthly, the CFO together with the oversight authorities need to confirm that all the requirements that I need to follow has been dealt with. I just want to pause for one moment. Any questions in terms of my presentation?
No, I'm just going to continue. If there's any questions, the member will interrupt you, but we will engage after it.
Then just a very snapshot in terms of our drivers of internet control. That's basically the root cause if something goes wrong. Our drivers only talk of leadership. You will recall that we have presentation talks to leadership. They talk to your financial environment, that's more your daily, monthly, weekly control, and then in terms of your oversight body. So if I can just do a quick overview, briefly, you'll see the combination of green, which means good. There's a couple of yellow, so it means that there's still some area of improvement in terms of the internal control. However, the yellow was not that material that it impacts the audit environment. So obviously we want management to operate in a full green environment. So in terms of your leadership, financial, you know, you have all the controls being implemented. Unfortunately for the NYDA, it's quite a different story. Very little green. More towards the red side, and red means intervention is being required. The thing that we expect in terms of your oversight, we felt it to be lacking. In terms of your financial control, regular, complete, accurate financial information, daily, monthly controls, we found that to be lacking, and in the end, that links back to the audit outcome because there was quite a number of control weaknesses which we have identified. On the next page, page 5, it just quickly, point 5 on the topic of the other matters, but page 11. Just a quick snapshot in terms of the amount of fruits and wasted expenditure. You will see there's a slight improvement in of a bigger amount that has been identified by the DME. It's more in terms of management having adequate oversight, so the prevention part is a bit can be improved, but they have identified all the fruits and expenditure that has come to their attention. And the NYDA, as there was a regression or a drop in the amount that was identified. In terms of irregular expenditure, there was also a lesser amount that was identified. You will note, especially for the NYDA, last year was 153 million. They dropped significantly to only 62 million. It dropped, but it's still a material amount. So there was an improvement, however, it's still not in our environment that we are satisfied with that. And then lastly, just to conclude, in terms of other audit reports and other matters that have been registered as a national, on the National National Credit Act, there's a beautiful procedure that we perform in terms of the form that they have to submit. So in terms of that, we give you a feedback in terms of that there was an agreed upon procedure engagement. Basically, a agreed upon procedure management comes to us and actually set out what we need to audit, and then basically we just audit to the five procedures they want us to audit, and we give them a limited audit assurance report to say we have covered the five aspects that you want us to look into, and we report really just in terms of that. And then there was also a couple of investigations at the NYDA. Two was actually coming from the prior year, it's not new. The public sector investigation has been ongoing for the last 2 or 3 years in terms of the World Festival for Youth and Students. And the focus areas was in terms of supply chain management being followed, and the investigation is still ongoing. We are engaging with the public sector to find out when the report has been finalized, but the comment at the end was that they are doing the process to finalize the report, and it has not been finalized at the end. And then there was also some investigation in terms of the previous youth loan group that's still ongoing. And then on the last page, there was a new investigation that was conducted during the year under review, and that's also regarding to significant projects and links to your supply chain environment that was also ongoing at year end. And then on page 12, just commitment, I want to refer to the commitment of your oversight role, is that to ensure that the audit outcomes do not retreat, that DPE sustains the audit outcome and NYDA improves, that there's adequate oversight in terms of the financial systems that they provide, also in terms of the supply chain management, that the supply chain management action plan needs to be implemented and feedback provided to yourself that you can do oversight in terms of that, and then very important that there are audit action plan for all the internal and external audit findings that address all the root causes to ensure that the same findings are not being repeated in the forthcoming year. Thank you.
I think just to highlight point 7, which just deals with the combined assurance model, and I know it's a bit small, but I think it's just important that for the committee to understand this model, and very important to also understand where the committee fits into this model, and the committee fits into the right hand side what we call the third level of oversight. So the third level of oversight is really, as the name says, third level, day to day management, and Judy highlighted in the presentation that there are some areas where it is literally the day to day controls that need to improve some of the environment. Then there was a question about leadership and accounting authority. So that's the next level of leadership still within the organization itself. Then there's the role of the executive authorities in ensuring positive audit outcomes. That's all first level of assurance. Then we go to the middle block, and the middle block is not really applicable to the entities itself, although the Department of Performance Monitoring Evaluation does play some role for government as a whole in terms of its performance monitoring evaluation, specifically with regard to the performance information and the 12 national outcomes. Then there's internal audit and audit committee. These two are very, very crucial in any environment. You need to have effective internal audit, you need to have an effective audit committee. If you very important to have those two mechanisms in place. And what we suggest is that the committee, through its oversight, engage with the entities, engage with the department, and try and get assurance on a quarterly basis that internal order of the sound is functioning, or the committee is functional. And in certain cases, you might even decide to engage with the chairperson of the audit committee to get first-hand feedback from the chairperson of the committee. The third level block, that's an important portfolio committee, through quarterly oversight. Funding accounts committee, that's in severe cases when there's normally a qualified corporate business, or even in other cases, funding accounts committees can involve can call entities to account. And then lastly in line is external audit. So it's very important that the first block might be very effective, and the second block must be very effective, because if you look at the timing that things happen, us, the committee and ourselves, that in the third block, we are down the process. So therefore, to oversight, one needs to try and ensure that management and leadership do on a day-to-day basis what they should be doing to give us positive for the outcome. Thank you, Chair. That's anything that I wanted to say. We hope we welcome any engagement.
Okay, thank you very much.
Chairperson, no, thank you. Is there any? No, I must tell you, this is not good news. My question is, the people who appointed the internal audit and the audit committee, were they placed before this report? Here. Because I have a problem with this one, with the appointment book. Because how can you appoint auditors or internal audit committee and they didn't do their job? So I want to find a clarity on this chair. That is for me important, because I agree with it on the point of the role of senior management mechanic officers. But my view is, where were the internal audit people? And where were the audit committee? That is serious questions. Thank you, Chair.
So, maybe your question is, do they have this?
Yeah.
If they have internal audit committee, is there an audit committee that you ask now?
Who appointed them?
Thank you, Chair. Just to add to what
I'm
telling you, the problem with the internal audit committee is not only the mayor or the department, but they are appointed. The internal audit committee are appointed by the departments themselves. So they have the right to fire them as well. So what they do is they get adverse support from the internal audit committee, they get rid of it. So, you know, we don't strengthen authority for the internal audit committee by, for instance, getting the, you know, the report, you know, to appoint the chairperson of all the internal committees. You know, we're not going to get anywhere because they are all scared of being fired because it's a job that they've got at the moment. So we're going to lose them.
Okay. Any other comments? Another one?
Thank you, Chair. I just want to understand on page 5, in terms of PPMP, it says, they were material adjustment in the annual performance report were identified, and then also the corrected by management. When does that happen? After or before? Because if it's not corrected, then why is it here? You know? Because I need to understand, if it was corrected, why is it here? Are you saying it's not? That's still not compliant. That's all I want to understand. And then in terms of IT, the root cause is just because they were sharing the IT. Now, the recommendation is talking about quality. Except sharing the IT with the presidency. That means also their policy. We're not good. We're not even in line. And why was it not also part of the report? Because if it was a, so that when you make a recommendation, you're saying the IT side of it should be, you know, this is what you are recommending because it's also part of the report. Where people can do whatever they like around the thing. In terms of NYDA, I don't know what to do. So there's such a lot of things. I'm not so clear. I don't know when to ask questions and when to ask. But when I look on page 10, on drivers of internal control, it says, the yellow one says costing for a concern. But when I look on the other page where there's detailed information, I don't see that. I only see SIC and also at the SSL supply chain. But others, I don't see that there's a room for concern because it's very, it just says no, and that's not applicable or there's no information. That's not what I'm trying to say. To say why are they not draining officials to show that there's a real costing for a concern. And then on page 11, UTMP does it mean in 2012, I don't know whether it's million, 6,000? Yeah, and then they, instead of going down, they jumped to 68,000, is that what you're saying? Okay, they only improved in terms of food that they went to exchange. Okay, but I did not see it also somewhere, unless it's somewhere on this detail page where it's explaining in terms of food that expenditure, what is it? What I think, like with other NYDA, we could pick it up to say in terms of ID, this is what IT, this is what they're saying, in terms of supply chain management, this is what they're saying. But here, in terms of this yellow concern, reporting, processing, IT controls, compliance, I don't see it as some of the things that come, that they need to marry each other, they need to support each other. Cannot just be only on the last page, but all the findings and everything say that's not applicable. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question was on the or on page 5 on the material X. Because after I just picked up and we had a discussion during our quarterly meetings with the department, we actually engaged them about their objectives and roadmap. It comes to us on our control because they actually give us a feedback that they are in constant discussions with me because it seems we did not understand it from the same point of view. Because they are set them up in a very ambitious way, but you engage each other so that you must, at the end of the day, be on the same wavelength, maybe without seeing the better findings on the same level with them. Because that's why, as you know, you engage each other because what they meant by their objectives was not how we interpreted them, so that we were satisfied that we are engaging each other, because maybe the findings will come out in the way that will make us say, oh yeah, by the way, we are informed by the department that they are engaging the AG concerning how they set their objectives. But I think maybe we will understand better when we see them. But because it's still up here, we don't know how much we engage each other
concerning the way they set their objectives and the way you see them. And the other issue at that one, all on irregular expenditure, is kind of because so that we can build up.
Thank you.
Thank
you.
James, I just wonder whether the order did not pick this up in the witness I think this report is very useful the way it's being structured. It's the first time I've seen a report structured like this. And if we utilize the recommendations here and we structure our own recommendations to be able to give effect to them, we monitor those, I think we'll be able to make a significant difference in the way that NYDA functions in future, because it's really, it's about management. It's really. And then, I don't see there's any harm, Chair, to invite the chairpersons of the audit committees to attend portfolio committee meetings. I think it would be very useful for us, and in a way it will also protect them around the concerns that Honourable Swart says, because if this time and they've gone the following time, we can start to question the departments, why did you get rid of them as well? So I think that to me, I find this very useful. And then the other thing, I know the AG is auditing against predetermined objectives, okay? But predetermined objectives, some of them you're stating it, that they've managed to do it, but in our understanding as a committee, we haven't really found a single department that's met all their predetermined objectives. That's almost that they haven't. But there's some that you've got for NYDA that's green, and for DPME they're red. One hour, you're auditing those predetermined objectives, okay, against what? Or what measure are you using to audit them? Okay. Yeah. And then DPME is also monitoring predetermined objectives in the process. So the difference between monitoring and auditing predetermined objectives. Thanks.
Where does the responsibility of the Auditor General really stop? Now, I want to say this, Jeff, because I think there should be a very closer link, cooperation between the Auditor General and the department, or the officials of the department. And the reason why I'm saying this, you know, politicians come and go. The executive, we can hold the executive to account, but the executive come and go. Ministers come and go, MPs come and go. But the officials stay. The Auditor General is an institution, and there should be a much closer link. Now, you know, what the Auditor General told us this morning, they said, an internal audit committee is important. We know that. But what is the role of the Auditor General to see that where there is not a proper internal audit committee, to see it's been established? Yes, you've got the recommendation. I will talk to that now. But it's also been said then on the other hand, if the Auditor General raised issues, it is too late. So why they raise issues? Because it's late. You see, Jefferson, it's also been said culprits should be prosecuted, the people who are responsible according to the PD committee. Now, the executive and the DG, the accounting officer, will send, or is supposed to send his officials for training on the Public Finance Management Act and on all these issues to comply with it. But somewhere along the line, I think there should be a more closer link between the Auditor General and the department. Yes, we must know about the problems. We can hold the executive to account, but it is short term. We handle the short term period and the short term solutions. The long term solutions to come forward at the end of the day with a clean report is between the real watchdog, the Auditor General, and the department. And Chief, if you look at all the recommendations here, my question is, it's very good recommendations, but what happened to the recommendations? Is it not time that the Auditor General also audit his own recommendations the next year to see whether these recommendations that they put to the department and they put to NIDA are at the end being implemented or just implemented? You know, if we went that way, I mean, it would also then assist these officials, because the recommendation is a recommendation on paper, but the closer communication between the Auditor General and the department and the officials will bring us to a point where you will have better financial management from top down to bottom. So this is my question, Chair, just to ask the Auditor General, where does their responsibility stop? Is it with a piece of paper, present to the committee and say, we're finished, or is it an ongoing process between the Auditor General's office and the department and the officials who are there on a longer term and not the short term like the executive day?
No, it's fine. Another question on that subject. I'm sure the AG will tell you respond. Will remind us where they established the application. Any other comments? Okay.
quarterly basis, and we should go and assess the key controls in that environment on a quarterly basis. That's not normally the function of a auditor, that's actually the function of management. Management should assess the key controls on a day-to-day basis, and management should actually put corrective measures in place. So we are currently on a quarterly basis, visiting each and every of our auditees, no matter how big or how small, where we go and assess those key controls. And then once we assess those key controls, and that's where you see these colors from, so the document that we use to do that actual assessment is a much more detailed document. And then that assessment is out, we will give feedback to management, to tell management, here are controls which is not in place. So even though you might not have an internal auditor at that point in time, even though it's possible that you might not have an audit function, an audit committee, or whatever, we will go and have a formal assessment and a formal discussion with management to say, this is our assessment of the key control. Here's your rate, here's your risk, here's things that you need to keep in place. In fact, part of that is that we will indicate to say you don't have effective internal audit, or you don't have a functioning audit committee. We will actually be having those discussions. We will have those discussions with CFO, CEO. Then we will have those discussions with chairpersons of boards if they avail themselves to meet with us, because that's of course really important, they must avail themselves to engage with us. So that will happen literally four times a year if they avail themselves to engage with us. Then we take it to another level. We also have those discussions with the executive authorities board. So in this case, we will have that discussion with So we, from our side, even though we are on the right-hand block, and I explained that we actually, in terms of the audit process, normally coming very, very late in the day, we actually do those quarterly key control assessments. And the important thing is that entities need to act on our assessment. You know, because if we raise it and no one acts on it, that's unfortunately where our mandate is. Then for management to act, and that's why it's important that oversight committees like that, then from an oversight point of view, also have a look at the outcomes and reasons for why outcomes do not improve. What is important is that we recommend to each and every entity that they should have an audit action plan. After each audit cycle, they must have an audit action plan, which they must implement. And we will give them feedback during the audit and during the interim audit. What we do is, in most of our audit environments, we also do interim audits. So during the interim audit already, we will give feedback and say, either you don't have an audit action plan, or we will say, we've had a look at your audit action plan and we don't think it's sufficient to change the audit outcomes. But once again, it's up to management and the leadership to act on it. If you have a look at our detailed reporting, which we do to management, which actually goes up to audit committee level, and even the chairpersons of the board have got access to that information, we will have a summary in each of those reports we will say, this finding has been repeated for the past 3 years. Which is a clear indication that our recommendation that we've made has not been acted. But that is unfortunately where our mandate stopped. Because the PFMA is very clear on what is the responsibility of management and those charged and the accounting authorities, like in the case of the NYDA. The PFMA is very, very clear on what is the responsibility of the accounting officer. It's a legislative responsibility. and that is why we would then report if there's non-compliance with those specific legislative requirements. So, That is the current process. And how we think the committee can assist in this process is to ask entities for their audit action plans. To engage with them on their audit action plans. To on a quarterly basis ask feedback from the entity. How far are you in implementing your audit action plan? So if we come in at the end of the next cycle and there's no improvement in audit outcome, that's when accountability is very important. Because one then needs to understand that what then went on, what action was taken. You know, if it's within someone's area of responsibility to institute control, if supply chain management is within the that there are policies and procedures. If the CFO's responsibility is to make sure that non-compliant people are reported, the accounting officer's responsibility is to make sure that that action is taken. And you will see from Julie's presentation, she continuously said that when it comes to supply chain management, the action after this transgression is not there. Once again, if you look at the PFFA, that is the responsibility of management to implement it, to implement those.
It's a legal requirement.
In terms of it's very different between the PFMA. The PFMA says you must first of all prevent the ready level food distribution procedure. So you must have controls in place to prevent it. Secondly, it says you must detect it. That means you must have controls in place to detect it. And if you look at the presentation, we are saying that in some instances, still, in the case of the NYDA, not all the ready level food has been detected. So the preventative controls were not in place, the detective controls were not in place. So in this interaction, you must disclose all the events. And once again, when it comes to the disclosure, because everything has not been detected, disclosure was not disclosed in the case of the NYDA. Then fourthly, the action, you need to determine if anyone should be held accountable. And if in fact it goes further on to say, you need to determine if any food is wasted or spent or directed. All legal requirements. That's why we are actually reporting. I think it's a very valuable input from the honourable member. That is the process that we currently have in place. And we've seen in areas, and Julie made that comment at the beginning of the presentation to say that in the case of the DCMP, the work after was improved and is due to effective leadership. I can still remember the engagement this committee had last year with PME. And although they were in the context of some other entities, there was a few findings. I can remember there were one or two in the area that I mentioned. This committee had a vigorous engagement with the PME on it. And the accounting officer took it seriously. He said to his team, no more. I will not go and explain again. You know, so leadership in all of this is very important. So we believe that we give all the information to the leadership to act on. And it's important that the leadership takes that information and acts. And acts on it. And that's the only thing which will change the order. Consequence management and effective leadership in terms of doing the right thing and the right thing. Judy will go through the rest of the questions. I will pick up if I pick up that there's any one that she
misses. Can I just get clarity on something? With regard to the earlier on, when we mentioned that the monetary financial statements weren't being prepared, I can't remember what report it's called, or to turn that report, but I was of the impression that the executive authority had to sign off monthly on financial reports. So to me, if in effect you're saying that that's not happening, so how then does the executive authority give direction to change then, if that isn't being done? And whose responsibility is that? Because the legislature is supposed to hold the executive accountable. The executive authority is supposed to hold the HID accountable, okay, in my opinion. But then, if you've got an action plan, audit action plan, would that not then also should be monthly submitted to the executing authority so that they can then monitor? So, somewhere to me there's a structural issue that's not working properly. I understand your work and I appreciate what you're doing, but if there's no one to drive that and to hold that HID accountable, you've got a problem. So where is that breakdown coming from?
Jefferson, I think it's a very valuable input. The important thing is that once again that the monthly and quarterly reporting in terms of background to management as CFO, we are recommending start to do monthly financial statements as you would publish them here. But there is some resistance because it's a lot of work. That's the resistance that we experience. It's a lot of work. Secondly, it's a requirement of legislation. And that is why it's important that we get the buy-in from the portfolio committee, that we get the buy-in from the executive authority to say, you know what, we agree that this is a possible way of getting to accurate financial reporting. But what we are also saying to the entities is, as a CEO of an entity or as an accounting officer of an entity, surely you would need this information on a monthly basis, this full set of information on a monthly basis to be able you to make the right decisions. And what we are also saying is, we believe that the moment you've changed your control environment where everything is green, to prepare this set of financial statements should be fairly easy. And to prepare an actual set of financial statements should be fairly easy. You said that in the case of national department, the current basic accounting system that they have is not what we call an accrual accounting system. It means you must have a list of creditors and debtors here on the side. And we are saying, do it monthly. Don't only go do it once a year at Jackson's, or even quarterly. Do it monthly. Then you just update it with the movements for the month. Everyone knows what is expected. Because typically one of the challenges in this environment is that procurement is decentralized, so invoices are all over in the different units. So for you to determine what is my actual creditors and accruals at one end, all those invoices need to come to the CFO for you to be able to report it. Practice it 12 times a year. Everyone will know what to do. If you only ask for it once a year, you're going to struggle. So the message that we are giving is from the executive authority right down is these are the things that we believe should be in place to change the environment. And we've seen in areas where our messages have been taken seriously and these things are implemented and there's serious oversight that environment.
So, but in essence, on that question, what you're saying that the executive authority and does not necessarily have to sign off monthly
what we are recommending is we are recommending that at least quarterly, despite now what is the requirements of the PFMA, we are recommending at least quarterly, and an executive authority can in fact require it to be monthly. We are saying at least quarterly, there should be feedback to the executive authority. This is our audit action plan, this is our progress in terms of the audit action plan, this is how far we are, and this is why we believe our audit outcomes will change. So we recommend that mechanism should be in place.
How much can we standard question. Now the fourth action factors is yes.
On the fourth action plan.
Fourth action plan.
We really recommend that. We believe that would make a difference. It leads to the question that the honourable member has here with regards to performance information and the finding that we had, the performance monitoring evaluation. The finding that we had is to say that the information which was presented to us together with the financial statements for audit and what you currently see imprinted in the annual report is not exactly the same in all instances. Because as we audited, we find the actual achievements to be different. PME then had to go back and they had to go rework the actual achievements. In the environment, they were in a position to have the information and they could get to the right actual achievement. But what we are saying is the day-to-day controls should be of such a nature that when you present a quarterly report to the minister, to this committee, it should be 100% accurate. And
queries, may I ask you, the internal audit team of them, how many people are there?
Of the DBE?
Yeah.
I'm not allowed to answer questions, Trudy. Not in this meeting.
Basically, there's a little bit of audit, and there was a contract. If you look at the on page, I'm saying there's multiple.
Another part of the audit committee. That's about the audit
side, that the internal audit function is operating effectively, despite the limited resource allocation, that it has, and that it has apparent the risk taken to the MIDA in its audit. Auditing firm, SAPNC, has been appointed as the course of internal auditors during the year under review. But the issue is that it means that according to the report from the audit committee, they have the internal audit committee is functional with the support of the auditing firm. But still, this thing still the gap despite the tightening of the radical. Because it's clear that from the NYPA side, they try to strengthen the internal audit by appointing an outside audit company to strengthen the internal audit. But still, I think and I think that the main question that we need to come to as a committee is what another question of this report coming out at the end of the day, what happened. I thought that this question, Professor Fandik, we don't throw it to the audit, the office of the AG, to us, because it's us ourselves to the department, to the entity. You say to them, what is your plan of action? Maybe ourselves, we live by not for the viewers, you might not have monitored it for what they call it. But you might not have monitored it. We deal with the department or the entity, they give us quarterly reports. Whether we have consistently monitored it, I think that's where what the cost is, ourselves. Because it's correct to say the AG will come at the end of the year. The hotel is all set. But we have been in the air monitor. Okay, you may proceed with our question.
I think that's really important. I think sometimes we have all the questions come from being the big management needs to focus just on the AG. So the audit action plan that needs to be presented needs to include the internal audit as well, because the problem is internal audit can do exactly what they're supposed to do. They can report exactly what we report. But if management don't take those findings seriously and they don't implement and act upon it, it's the same as us. You know, you can say we were here last year, why are the same findings here? We keep the findings in management. Then they need to be that accountability that our will drive them. So even though you have your internal audit function, they can only be 100% effective if management also take part of those findings and drive them. And then the cap on that one, because your oversight will, don't focus on the AG's findings. Focus on the internal audit findings as well. Because those findings are much more lower level in terms of daily, monthly, week control, because that's the cap under which they operate. So, in terms of the first question that was asked,
excuse me, but I hope that I'm not understanding you to be saying the
context of what Jesus and Rachel and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And to continue with the first question I was asked is was the, I think it's such a quite significant part on the internal order that there was appointed. So in terms of the audit committee for the DCB, there was an audit committee appointed for the school year under review. However, for the NYDA, their term ended in the previous year in April. So they only managed to appoint a new audit committee in November. So there was a significant part of the year where there was no oversight in terms of the audit committee. However, once the audit committee has been appointed, there was a significant number of meetings that was held to cater and to cover for the period where there was a lack of oversight.
The term of office ended in April.
Thank you. resulted in an increase in the amount, but as I said, more due to the increase in the detecting control, and now going forward, the preventing control need to be improved by management.
The detail of your question must always be disclosed in the financial statements of the details.
There's a question that was asked about the current media or the knowledge about the previous chair being arrested. And that links clearly back to the public protective report. So the public protector in their investigation look at the whole national youth festival, which will incorporate that. So in terms of the investigation that the public protector is currently undergoing, they will also look into that matter and report on it accordingly.
We don't have
there's a question that was asked in terms of the audit process in terms of performance monitoring and evaluation, also how do you audit performance information and what's the difference between monitoring and auditing, just very high level in terms of how we audit performance information. In terms of our mandate, we audit the performance information. I'm going to call it in two legs. First, we evaluate the performance information with the plan that was presented to us. Is the target smart? And is the smart meaning, is it specific? Can the target be measurable? Is it achievable? Is it time-bound? So we audit it in terms of that environment. And secondly, we go in terms of, if you presented a report to me, is it completely valid and accurate? So for the DPME, we evaluated their strategic plan, we found it to be smart, and then when they presented the report to us, in all instances it was not valid, accurate and complete, therefore the material adjustment that was made, subsequently they were able to correct it and present a report that actually talked to the matters at hand. For the NYDA, we also go through the similar process, we evaluated it, we found the targets to be smart, and then when we audited it, it tried to line up to the performance documentation. That's basically what we do in terms of auditing it. In terms of the monitoring role that the DPMP do is, they monitor the overall process, for example, in terms of the monitoring, have all the departments submitted their strategic plan, have all the departments submitted, so they monitor the process and not actually the content, and that's basically the difference between, you know, what the DPMP do in their oversight role and then what the auditors do. We audit and whatever being presented. If they say, I'm going to build 12 houses, can I go and see, yes, there were 12 houses. With a DPU in terms of their monitoring oversight, they will monitor to see what all the legislative requirements of the department had to do, what's that basically in place, and then the assurance is more from our side that we give assurance that if the DPU said A, B, C, and D, they have basically implemented A, B, C, and D.
So you monitoring how these two kind of fit together, but not outcomes.
I think that's the best way to describe or conclude on it. So, see, we don't have a mandate to get involved in target and objective setting. That's the overall strategy of government. So once it's been set and determined, and once a strategic plan has been approved by an executive authority, we will then go and audit against that plan. And we will, the first thing we will do is we will look at the targets as indicated to see do they comply with the SMART principle. The second thing we will do is we get to actually go audit the numbers, let's call it the numbers. Let's say it was houses, the target was to build 100,000 houses. They report 110,000 houses were built, we will then go and see if that figure is very reliable. Performance monitoring will then on a high level get all that information from all the various national and provincial departments and then start to measure. So how does that for South Africa as a whole measure up to what was planned? And therefore the important link between and that's
what we know DPME do as part of their moving, they look at our audit reports. So they look at our conclusions, at least the entities performing the information, to try and determine how reliable is that information. And the latest impact report that was tabled, you can actually do a distinction which also but we don't get involved in target setting. We will just raise a finding if we believe that the target is not measurable. That we will not say the target was too high or too low.
Or achieved.
Now, the way that the performance reporting works is the entity must report achieved or not achieved. So in other words, if the entity reports achieved and our finding is not achieved, then we will raise our finding.
Okay.
But if the target was 100 and they only achieved 80, then the requirement is they must explain why they didn't meet it. If that's been done, we will stay silent. However, what we do do is we are comfortable that the information that's reported is accurate and there was material what we call underachievement of targets. We will have a paragraph in the audit report where we will highlight the underachievement. Purely statement of fact to say out of the 40 targets, only 20 have been achieved. And refer to page whatever in the annual report for details of the explanation. Just to take the user then to the annual report where the entity then actually has to explain the reasons for the annual report.
I don't know.
You know, there was another question, that was Levy, I think, here, I don't remember. Or maybe, I don't know if you've responded to the questions that were raised by others. No, I found it interesting. Or I don't know if or you were sharing it with us or the committee that we should invite one day chairperson of the audit committee. I'm not sure if there is something that would be going to that content that you think is the right thing to do or what.
See, I think it's very important because this morning is for me to be clear that the internal audit is what we can do wrong. That's the thing. So the point is, we must interact with them. I think that is perhaps good that we must invite them on the other time. That we must be hard on them. Because their salaries is good. Salaries are good, am I right? They got good salaries. And the second thing is here, is that the same is, but my view is that all these things comes back to what we said 100 times before. Because they can assist the management, but the management can also assist them. So it is vice versa thing.
And I was not flagging it because I thought it was an important but it was an input that maybe we need to come here to be and check whether it's correct because internal body are internal arrangements as well. So say that I'm saying let us apply our mind.
In the financial statements, we felt that it wasn't of such a
specifically identified, and by the time that we ordered, already action has been taken against those officials and the money has been recovered. So in terms of oversight, we feel not to report on this because we feel that management leadership took a sufficient action against that environment.
But it's adequately disclosed in the annual report, so it's not something which is just in the document, it's public.
But that is the response that it cannot be. Because me now when I'm looking at it, let me tell you something, and I'll just say, but I'm speaking of people that are French, irrespective of how much they are not. And I believe that it should be somewhat flexible. In terms of business expenditure, this is what I mean. These are the actions that were taken. That's why I was asking why some of this information is not here. Because all the other things come out. So if whatever is coming out on the summary, it should also reflect on the details info, so that I should not be asking questions around that. And in terms of business expenditure, even if the leadership reported, it's still a
leadership.
So it cannot be that because the amount is little, you know, then it keeps the sense. Because truth and transparency, it is transparency. No matter how much, so it must make sure that it reflects. If it does, that it reflects on the other side. How I think, because now I'm just asking myself, why is this transparency between the people?
Understand the other things that are there, not on the details of information. Thank you.
Well, thank
you very much. I was just checking. I wasn't saying for a week, but I was just thank you very much, all of members, for the questions. And, thank you very much. All of members, we have some two issues to deal with. I hear that there are minutes, but I haven't seen them. I don't know if anyone is
following.
Now, we are coming to the president of
if I may, because this presentation is a short presentation just on the audit report, what's the difference between the
two? Thanks.
So we thought we would just hand it out to the members to have a look at each in their own time. And can I just check something in the
can we just add in a bit down there?
In terms of the work program, Chair, we haven't received any parliamentary program, so to be quite honest, I don't know when your engagement is with the various audit teams, you know. So I don't know when you I've got no idea when it's going to be the next couple of days or which ones you would like us to do the thing.
Okay.
I know we are here on Thursday.
Thursday.
I'll give you the wrong time, so you're not here when we actually I'll give you the information.
Thank you. No. When is the appointment? come up? No, this one, eh?
Yeah.
It's going to be sent to
Bahrain
last week.
Bahrain.
You know the remember I think with the original program, yeah? It was meant to be Friday. But one day that's a different process. Yeah? That's before we get the department to come. Let's get the ages report. And I know that in one program we're supposed to do something right. But instead, the person has made rather on the street on Friday, just to interview on Thursday. Because I mean, for an annual report, the country, an annual report on Friday, there's no time. And maybe we also took the advantage that there's no. But this week he's supposed to be we're supposed to do they are supposed to work to do all the committee work mornings and afternoons. So I will I apologize that if people didn't notice the the problem is that this month is very tight for us as a committee.
I don't know when we have to allow some capital to be
No, that's quite a whole year. And this time is going to be very short.
The November will finish. Gracias.
Can you name the cabinet in the honorable class?
Can we
just move to this
now?
Yeah. So the...
Why are you here then?
I don't know if the members were able to look at this report. It's a very detailed report.
I'm going to
When are we adopting this annual report? Because, you know, once we start with the, on the 23rd, when is the statement done? On the 23rd, not the statement of the entity there. Yeah. On the 23rd.
We don't have to report the annual report that will be.
We don't table them, but the annual report, it will be before the
don't we report to the, don't we submit the report? Only a part of the circle
comes. Yes. Anyway, there's observations, yeah, changes, so that's what the Bureau of Books is all about.
Well, if that is the understanding of the House, it's required. Okay, so now it's fine, we're all of members. The minutes we're doing them tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the report, now there's a proposal, another proposal. I thought that the report we're doing it on Tuesday. Now, Honorable Philip Andrew says, no, By the way, since we have the old Wednesday operation.
Jason, this is what I'm saying to you. This is your program. You will be here on Wednesday and you schedule from 9 to 12. So after 12, the people who were not involved in the tour can leave. And then leave the other people who went on the tour. We can deal with the report later.
If there's no issue, then shall we adjourn?
Yes, we're not free.